Andy and I have been joined in the studio by Max Stettenbauer. He's 24, he's from Cologne, and allegedly, he's a German comic.
Now, stand-up comedy in Germany becomes very popular. I'm in a movement right now where young Germans, they see American stand-up, they see British stand-up, and they see, wow, we have this great comedic talent in the world, you know, and we still have guys in pink dresses who tell jokes from 30 years ago. So why is that?
Why is that?
Exactly.
Why is that? I think it's just because stand-up comedy is an art form of the people. So the people talk about themselves. You have to talk about your own weaknesses, your own shortcomings. I think that's a big part of my act, you know? But the German people, we talk a lot about our weaknesses. I mean, and the whole world talks about one particular weakness we had in the past. So self-deprecating humor for Germans is still a challenge.
You think that because a lot of comedy revolves around exposing your weaknesses, in Germany there
exactly.
are historical reasons why you might be vulnerable about that.
Exactly, exactly.
So we're bordering on taboo topics here. Let's talk about taboos. Do you consciously go out to make people feel nervous, make people think, oh gosh, he's talking about something I didn't think he was going to talk about there?
I don't try to be shocking to be interesting. You know, I don't try to shock just to get the people to listen to me. I first try to be interesting and funny. That's my setup, my premise. I think there are more taboos. We live in a society where there is sexual freedom and stuff, and sex is, it's all about sex and stuff. But I think the last taboo in comedy is a man who stands on stage and tries to be honest, just to be honest, and really goes into his fears and his weaknesses. Because there's a comedian, and he knows him, Marc Maron, who talks only about his psychological shortcomings, you know, about his problems he has within his own mind. Something that personal, it's very tough and hard to listen to someone who is funny that way, you know, in a very personal and vulnerable way.
Do you think Germans get nervous when comedians work in that arena? From my experience of living here, Germans tend to be a little bit not withdrawn, but they hold back a little bit. And therefore, talking about real personal stuff is not something that Germans are really comfortable with.
Because it's never done before. You know, nobody in comedy, in German comedy, you are only allowed to talk about the stuff that the audience already knows. But I try to surprise them.
Let me ask you something. You were talking about, we're talking about material and stuff. I've seen you work both in English and in German.
Yeah.
But do you find it, I mean, and your English is really, really good. And I know that you did stand up in the States.
Hang on, Andy, you're being very modest here. I think you played a role in this, did you not?
Well, there's a thing called Comedy Day in San Francisco, which we celebrate every year. And we got Max to come and join us for Comedy
Day. Which was very generous of you.
Well,
but why Max? What made you think, yeah, this guy, I've seen him in Germany, I believe that he can woo an American audience?
Well, you know what? And that was it. I saw him work in English to an expat crowd here in town, and he was funny. He was just plain funny. I mean, that's the bottom line in comedy. You're either funny or you're not. So I talked to Debbie Durst, who is the president of Comedy Day, and I said, you know, there's a kid here. You got to see him. He's funny. She says, all right, bring him out. It's a Comedy Day is a one-day free concert in Golden Gate Park, which we do every year. This is our 32nd year now. Max came out, worked in front of 5,000 people.
And that's the biggest audience you'd had so far, was it, Max?
Or? The first time, yes. But now I had actually a crowd in the middle of this year at the Comedy Festival, which was 7,000. That's what was the biggest right now.
But your first gig of 5,000 people.
Yes.
And it's in a different language.
Yes.
It's a completely unknown. How was that for you?
Well, how was it? You know, if the set I did there at the Comedy Day, I performed this set 40 times. In my head, I performed it 6,000 times. So I think that's the most important factor if you want to do a good performance is to know your stuff inside out. But how was the experience? Well, it was amazing. It was a thrill.
And they laughed.
Yes.
I was there. I watched.
The set at the Comedy Day was great, but there are two things that were more important to me as an artist. Met Robin Williams and perform at the Punchline in San Francisco, which is a famous club.
And what did your family back home think of you going off and following in the footsteps of that club?
Well, I've never talked with them about that since then. So I actually stopped talking to them. No, it's...
How did they react originally to your decision to become a comedian?
Well, my parents are very, very strong people. And the reason for that is that I lost my sister at a car crash when I was 16. And they said, you know, we already lost one child. Before that, they were very rigid. Make good grades. Don't embarrass us, you know? Don't embarrass us.
I know that feeling. My parents said the same thing.
Yes, but after that, it changed their perception. And they said, you know, the only thing we want from our kids now is just to be happy. And if you think this whole comedy thing is your thing, then do it with all your heart and soul.
After the death of your sister, there can't have been much laughter in your household for a while.
No, that's actually, that's a little cynical, but that's actually a great environment for a comedian because there is a lot of pressure. You see all your family depressed because someone you love is taken away from you and you don't know why. And there is will never be an answer to that question, why. And there's like, you know, you want to make them laugh. You want to try to release the pain through laughter, you know. It sounds very corny. But that deepened my relationship to comedy, actually.
What about you personally? I mean, would the death of your sister, the tragedy that your family has been through, would that be something that might pop up in material?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it already happened. But there are things you just don't have the key right now. You know, that's a challenge. That's an artistic challenge as an artist to... make the most horrific thing funny. The thing you're trying to do is how deep and how dark you can go, how interesting, how personal you can get, and still make it light and still make it funny and still make it interesting.
Sounds almost like a sacrifice.
Exactly. Because if you make fun about, if you talk about stuff like that, very personal, very dark stuff, you distance yourself from it. It's not your life anymore. It's material. It's, all right, where are the beats? Where are the laughs? You know, and you know, I'm in a position right now, I'm a point in my life where something very terrible is happening to me. And I go, this could be a great closer.
Well, stay with us, Max, because we're going to be hearing more from you in the second part of the show. For now, though, you're listening to WorldLink, where I'm Kate Laycock.
And I'm Andy Valver.
Some people call me the space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. Play my music in the sun. I'm a smoker, I'm a joker, I'm a midnight choker. Get my loving on the run.
You're listening to DW's WorldLink, bringing you the personal stories from behind the headlines. In Bonn, I'm Kate Laycock.
And I'm Andy Valver. In this second half of the show, we'll be spreading the laughter as we go in search of humor in unlikely places.
Yes, chuckles to come will be provided by Indigenous Australian comedians.
And a British yoga class with a difference.
And a Jewish cartoonist in Muslim Turkey.
So the cartoonist is drawing a bomb. He's drawing a bomb. But he draws such a beautiful bomb that the bomb explodes. And the cartoonist's face is full of ink.
First up, though, we're going to continue our interview with German comedian Max Stettenbauer.
Max, I'm curious. German works differently to English, right? So if you say a sentence, then the sentence in German will often have the verb at the end. So that means that you're always waiting to find out what the sentence actually means. How does this affect your ability to be funny?
You know, that's a little bit comedy mechanics a little bit. So the key word of the punchline who releases the laugh actually should be the last. I'm explaining humor to a Brit right now. I'm feeling very proud.
Humility is a great national trait. So I hope that
well,
you realize this.
Well, tell me about that.
I would, but I'm too modest.
The German language is tricky. In German we talk differently than we write. So if you want to write German comedy, you will die because the grammar will make it so hard for you to make it as short and as funny and as concise as you wanted as a comedian. If you just talk, you know, German don't give a damn about grammar when they talk. You know, it's like in English, you know, when we talk, we talk differently than we write. And you have to write like you talk as a comedian. And then you can get around that.
There's a lot more young kids that are discovering stand-up comedy. You're having to sort of almost educate your audiences in the art form. And do you find that they're growing, that there's a bigger market for it?
Yes, I think so. By educating them, you don't go upstage and tell them, so little boys and girls, this is stand-up comedy. Right now, every comedian talks about the same things. They talk about IKEA, they talk about Deutsche Bahn, they talk about stuff. And like most of the German comedians have a variation of those 5-6 topics. And that's okay. You know, we all share the same reality. The jerk who runs around and complaining about things. That's, I don't like that. I don't like that. What happens with that? That's the archetype of the last generation of German stand-up comedians who complain a lot about stuff.
And it's often a very visual humor if you're watching that generation. So the audience, sort of, they have visual pointers as to when to laugh and how to react. They're very much led through the routine. Now, I've seen clips of you performing. You don't do any of that. Your timing, your delivery is really drawing on an American and Anglophone tradition whereby there are no pointers.
Yes. No, they have to listen. That's just something. I don't say that I do the most intellectual comedy or super messiah George Carlin comedy or something, but the way I do it is just I go up normally. I don't have a costume. I just go up there and talk.
Are there places where you would not go? Are there topics which you would not touch?
If it's just there to hurt someone. That's, I'm not interested in that. I know every joke needs a victim, but there are differences in style, you know. But I'm not here to make jokes about minority or something. That I just think is plain boring. I don't think that's interesting. Or saying dirty words for the shock laugh or something. That I'm not interested in. But I think you can talk about everything, even about the very dark topic about the Holocaust. I have a bit about the Holocaust. I think, and the audience reacts very well, because
both in Germany and internationally.
Exactly, yes. Because if you take the tragedy seriously, if they feel you're not talking about what actually happened, but the way how we perceive it, I talk about us. I talk about how we perceive it, how we feel about it, and how we not talk about it. We still haven't found a healthy way to talk about this. We still hate ourselves.
Are you faced with people who have an opinion about what you as a German comedian can or cannot say, what topics you can or cannot touch? Do you find that some audience think because you're German, there are some subjects which to you should be taboo?
Yes, there are topics who are absolutely taboo. The most taboo topic is not being funny. That's the only taboo a comedian should have. Not being funny is the greatest taboo. The people have to like you. People have to know you. Funny is everywhere.
Guys, I just want to end with a question for both of you. And I get that we're making people laugh. Why? What's the point of getting people to laugh? Why do you do it?
To do radio shows on Deutsche Welle.
He's smooth.
Oh, he's good. Good.
Do not be deceived by the geeky exterior.
Do you know what? There is, and I think Max will back me up on this, there is really no other feeling like it on Earth when you can stand on a stage and take a room full of people and with the little crazy little thoughts that you have in your brain and make a room full of people laugh over and over and over again. It's one of the greatest highs, and it's almost impossible to describe.
So it's about power.
Well, it's not power. It's addiction. You know, the difference between heroin and stand-up comedy is you can quit heroin.
Well, Max, in that case, I think you have a very long and successful career in front of you.
Thank you very much. I am the